If you're going through the end-to-end customer experience, pretending you're a user, is your brand showing up the way you want to in the marketplace?
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, each month we focus on a different marketing method, which could be email or SEO or Facebook ads, something like that. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. This month we're doing something slightly different. We're doing omnichannel expansion. We are looking at different ways you can grow your sales beyond your website and your sales to your direct customers. And I've got a brilliant guest coming up for you in this episode who applied to be on the show. And if you're listening and you're going, I would love to be on that show, I would love to be on Keep Optimizing, how do I do it? Well, you go to keepopt.com/guest. That will take you to the page on the website where you will find out all about becoming a guest and how to apply. And maybe you will be a guest on here soon. So like I said, this month we're all about omnichannel expansion. We've already done an episode on cross-border. You've already heard an episode on physical retail. In this episode, we're looking into marketplaces to complete the trifecta of additional ways that you can get in front of your direct consumers. We're covering marketplaces. I have an amazing guest going into this for us. She has gone through this process of working out which marketplaces to be on and making them successful for huge brands and tiny brands. And she's sharing all that she's learned to help all of you. You are in for an absolute treat. And make sure you listen right to the end of the episode because, unsurprisingly, her quickfire insider tips are absolutely brilliant as well. So listen to the end, please. Shopify recently turned the tables on me and took me from interviewer to interviewee, knowing, as they do, that the most successful retailers today are those that bridge the gap between online and offline and make it a seamless experience. Shopify wanted my thoughts on how to achieve truly connected commerce, particularly in the key areas of local selling, omnichannel selling, and cross-border selling. You can read my thoughts along with other commerce experts from Germany, France, Spain and Italy by visiting keepopt.com/Shopify and downloading the report. That's keepopt.com/Shopify. In this episode, I'm chatting with omnichannel expansion expert Jamie Lee. Jamie is all about driving digital and omnichannel growth and has over 14 years' experience of helping renowned brands do just that, including household names like Nike, Walmart, Sony, and emerging D2C brands like Vital Proteins and Everlane. Hello, Jamie.
Hello, Chloe. Nice to connect with you today.
It's brilliant to have you on the podcast. Sometimes when I look through the applications that come in to our guest application form, I look through it all and I go, how do these people think they are relevant for my show? And then sometimes I go through that list and I go, oh my word, this is amazing. I can't believe this person actually has approached us. So you fall into the latter category, strangely enough. So thank you so much for applying to be on the show and for being here to record. I know the audience is going to get so much out of you. So thank you so much.
Of course. I love to hear it. And thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. So how did you get into the world of e-commerce? What's your story?
Yes, Chloe, I'm more than happy to dive into that. I wish I could say, like, you know, I knew when I was really young I wanted to enter this world of e-commerce, but I would say in a lot of ways I sort of fell into it. So my undergrad background was at University of Southern California, focused on global business and entrepreneurship. And I knew at that point I really loved solving really complex or gnarly problems and opportunities to really make a big impact. So those are the things that were really important to me. And when I started off my career, it was at Sony Electronics, and it was a part of a rotational program. So I really had the chance to dabble in a lot of different functions. So everything from stores to marketing to operations, product creation, and e-commerce. And that's sort of where I fell in love with the e-commerce space. So again, I wish I could say I knew from the beginning, but a lot of it was a bit of happenstance and just knowing, you know, e-commerce out of all the rotations was really this growing practice. There were a lot of evolving problems. There were shifting sands in the industries. Not to say that it wasn't true of, say, stores or the other divisions, but I think that's what drew me to it. And I think I would say on that team too, there was so much energy and youthfulness and all the desire to make a big change, more so than some of the other divisions. So that's what drew me to that world. And ever since then, I've been on this path of, okay, where are there e-commerce opportunities within larger brands and retailers? And as of lately, more of the smaller brands and emerging brands to truly make an impact.
And across your happenstance career, which is very similar to mine. Mine is a series of happy accidents. But across that, you have, there's kind of like this theme of big growth projects and frequently achieving growth through going omnichannel, through embracing new channels and new routes to get in front of the customer and sell those goods. Do you think that for any growth strategy, omnichannel has to be a big part of it? You've got to assess where else you could be selling. Would that be true?
I would say that's true in maybe 9 out of 10 cases. So I would say, depending on where a brand is within their growth, sometimes in the earlier stages, it's really good to prove out, okay, product market fit. Does this still actually exist in the marketplace? And for some brands, it might make sense to just be on D2C. It may be lower cost for them. They've got customers organically finding their brand. They have a great brand ethos. So in that 1 out of 10 cases, the first chapter is really landing a solution, a product, a brand that they can really win on D2C. But Chloe, I totally agree that if you're looking to expand, knowing that your growth in your core audiences may not just be on D2C or one channel alone, it's really important to be present in other marketplaces, to show up amongst your competitors, to be a brand that may reach an audience you couldn't reach otherwise with a singular channel. So yes, I totally believe that marketplace is an essential part of growth, but may not be in the earlier chapters.
Is there a really obvious time when you know it's right to expand into other channels, into marketplaces? Or is it more of a, there's so many things you have to be thinking about that it really does depend from business to business? It's not like you reach a million and that's time to do it. Is it more nuanced than that?
It's a bit more nuanced. I wish there was almost a magic milestone for everyone to say, okay, this is now when we enter a new marketplace. But I would say from a brand perspective in the earlier phases, if you hit sort of a plateau or saturation at a certain point, say on a D2C channel, but you have enough knowledge of, okay, this is my core customer. Who's the most valuable? Here are the products that are resonating. Once you feel like you have a good knowledge of your product, your brand, how you want to show up, and your core customer, then it's time to say, like, okay, what's the next big thing to expand into? And maybe you want that next big spike of growth. And usually that can come with a great marketplace execution.
Got you. So rather than duplicate all our problems because we don't really yet understand our customer, we wait until you've at least solved the big things before you create more complexity.
Exactly. And if you have a learning agenda of like, here's what I want to learn in this test audience, or I want to try doing this with my brand or my packaging in another space, and I want to see if this resonates. And if you have this long list of hypotheses that you want to test, that's probably a good signal that it's time to enter and test that in a new marketplace that gives you the autonomy to test that as well. I think the tricky part with marketplaces is it becomes shared autonomy with the retailer and your brand. So knowing what that trade-off is too.
Yeah, because we talked like about avoiding the pain points. I feel like of all the channels that you could diversify into, you know, go cross-border into other countries, go on physical retail and all the different ways of doing that, all the different ways of wholesaling, I feel like marketplaces is the place where one wrong turn in your decision making and you absolutely screw yourself over, more so than in any of the other options. So, and that usually means someone's picked the wrong marketplace at the wrong time in their growth journey. So how do we work out which marketplace to go to, whether it's eBay or Amazon or I don't know, Walmart or somewhere even more bespoke? How do we work that out?
Yeah, great question. I would say you really using a framework of 5 different facets. That's what we've really previously looked at is, one, what are your business objectives? And I'll dive into what these kind of are. The second piece is also the customer. So customer connectivity, who's your audience? Marketplace and category potential. So does your product have the opportunity to really grow here? Is there some signal of demand and interest? Brand consideration. So what's really important for your brand? How do you want it to show up? Do you want full control or are you okay with shared control? And then the last piece that tends to be neglected too is talent. So do you have the right resources internally or agency-wise, or is it an external partner to work with to make sure you can really execute to success in the marketplaces? So I'd say starting from the top of business objectives, understanding what phase of the business you're in. So are you in sort of this high revenue user growth focus, or have you emerged to a more durable growth phase of profitable growth? If you're more in the first part, the first bucket of revenue and user growth, there might be certain channels. So i.e. an Amazon, or here in the US, potentially a Costco, which is more of a physical retailer, but this is going to get you a lot of eyeballs, a lot of traffic, and it may support your scale. However, the pricing considerations might cannibalize some of your margins. So thinking about that, and if it's profitable growth, perhaps there's other retailers that may better support that, where there's less of a referral fee, or maybe D2C is really working for you. So that's an important place to stay in. And you can really tap into your retention channels to really service the customers that you already have. So keeping that in mind, and I think especially in the lines of profitable growth, determining those channels to be in, it's really important to look at the basics. So what determines your margins in these marketplaces? The startup costs, the referral fees, fulfillment fees, on-platform ads, especially as you think about getting started. So those are the things I would look at for business objectives. Once you've landed that, so you decide, okay, we're in revenue growth or profitable growth, then you can start to map out, okay, who do I want to reach as a customer? Is it the core audience? So I know, say there's a millennial, just keeping it super broad, that I want to continue reaching. We know this is high value for us. What are the channels that then support that, that we know millennials are there? Or keeping it simple again, hey, we want to reach out to Gen Z. That's where we want to expand. Then kind of figuring out where that audience is. Maybe it becomes also a more nuanced platform shift. It becomes social commerce. I know we didn't really touch upon that, but maybe that's a place or space to play in for that. So understanding where your customer is and where they're naturally shopping. And then the third bucket of sort of marketplace and category potential. So you know your business, you know your customers there, but let's make sure that product actually makes sense on that marketplace. Because you could have an amazing product, but hey, there's not a lot of demand. People just aren't searching for that particular category in the marketplace. So for instance, I might pick Amazon, say, for my priority growth channel due to the user growth, top line potential. But if the demand for that category, say sporting equipment, totally making this up, is not there, then that's not really a space I want to play in. So a quick hack for that, just like as an initial gut check, is really finding a relevant tool. There's a lot of tools, I won't plug any names, but it helps you understand what product demand is. So looking at the Amazon bestsellers list, a keyword research tool to find product search volumes, getting a sense of Amazon reviews. That's an example to just get signals and leading indicators, or even just doing a search to say, are my competitors on this marketplace? And do I feel comfortable with the pricing I might need to match to be competitive with my competitors in this space? So just getting signals of consumer demand. And then quickly hitting on the last two would be the brand considerations. So do you want a mono brand or kind of multi-brand approach? Mono brand, so having full control of your brand, is likely going to be most successful on D2C. And if you're a 3P seller on Amazon, for instance, and sometimes you might have to sacrifice brand control. So that means the brand messaging, the copy, and the pricing. So knowing which channels offer that trade-off. The final bit is the talent. So knowing that you have the right resources in place to really drive success across the channel that you choose.
I love that lineup, that those five subfacets. It's like, it's almost, I know we're talking about marketplaces here, but it's like a recipe for success with anything. So I love it. And I particularly love how you put talent and resources at the bottom, because I think so often businesses go, oh yeah, we'll just launch on blah. With no more team members, no training, they just kind of flick the switch and expect it to work. Is that the key? In my experience, that's an area where people often get it wrong. Which of those five do you find people most often don't quite get right as they're preparing to do this?
I would say Usually it's the first one, the business objectives, and then the last piece around talent and like people process tools. And I think with brand objectives, or excuse me, the business objectives, there tends to be a lean towards, okay, this is going to give us growth, top line growth. But sometimes there tends to be a, wait, what about profitable growth? Or this might be great for the next year, but the margins aren't great here. So what happens if we do shift gears in the next 1 to 3 years and our growth strategy is different? So that's the nuance that sometimes gets lost in this focus on earlier hypergrowth. And then the talent, there tends to be a lot of amazing operators potentially in the earlier stages, but it's like, okay, is this person an expert in Target.com in that marketplace, or Costco or Amazon? And those are really nuanced marketplaces that you do need sort of a channel expert that knows the inner workings of the channel to say like, okay, this is the right commercial moment to play in, or you should go 1P versus 3P on Amazon. So even a brilliant generalist can get you set up, but knowing to build your team around a couple of experts at least to help you along the way for sustainable growth is important.
Yeah, each of those platforms have so many things that if you don't know, you don't know. And it, so yeah, you've got to find the right expertise to help you navigate it all successfully. Talking about which, of course, there does, you know, we can do all the prep and planning in the world, but at some point we have to launch in order to see if it's going to work for us or not. But how long do we need to play on a marketplace and commit to it before we can tell whether it is going to be a long-term strategy for us, or if despite all our checking in advance, we've made a bad decision? What would you say is, you know, how do we know we're being successful?
I don't want to give a specific hard and fast number, but generally speaking, at the 6 month mark, you can get clear signals. So some leading indicators, I'm happy to share that around sort of product acceptance. Is this resonating as a consumer seeing your product? Are they giving positive feedback on it? And then more concrete business metrics. So your P&L metrics, your consumer metrics. But I would say that ramping up in a new channel, especially if it's not D2C and say it's an Amazon or a Walmart, it does take time to see the payoff, especially since these days, it typically takes a bit of advertising on retail media platforms to truly get up and going, to really get the algorithm to kick in, to get the ratings and reviews and bestseller rankings. So I would say having milestones potentially in that first month to see what are the leading indicators of product acceptance. Are we seeing great search volume from branded and unbranded search to signify category interest? For the early purchases, are we seeing good ratings and reviews? Looking and combing through some of the product feedback, I think those are softer indicators, but tells you that you're pointing in the right direction. And obviously just an initial signal of sales. So does this track lead me to the sales target that I have in 6 months and 1 year? And then really that maybe 1 quarter mark, so the 3 months and the 6 months, looking at concrete metrics of, okay, what are my revenue goals? What are the profitability and unit economics numbers I'm looking at? CAC, ROAS, CLV, your classic metrics, and then also conversion rate. So are people kind of converting? Is the price really something that they're looking at? Do I have the right copy? Easy to optimize sort of areas. And then I would say another one that tends to be easily neglected when launching into a new marketplace is audience goals. So we talked a little bit about finding the right consumer, making sure that, okay, if you're launching into a new marketplace and you're reaching a new audience, again, it may take longer than the 6 months, but potentially you're bringing in the audience that you want and the ramp up is just taking longer. So that might also be like, hey, you know, we're really overachieving our audience goals. You know, 80% of our customers are this new growth audience. We're still not hitting our numbers, but they're going to be high LTV for us in the future. So let's continue to track that. So I'd say your hard P&L metrics, but also looking at your audience goals, and then brand objectives. Again, a bit harder to measure, but are you showing up, if you're going through the end-to-end customer experience, pretending you're a user, is your brand showing up the way you want to in the marketplace? So that could be anything from creative opportunities in the marketplace, advertising, is it giving you the space to play? And then also from a pricing perspective, are you having to discount so much that it's like, oh, we're really cheapening our brand? Or do you still feel confident that the discounting moment still supports your premium brand ethos if that's the direction that you're taking?
That was a little masterclass in itself there, Jamie. Thank you. I love how you're balancing that need for the softer metrics as well as the hard and fast profit P&L. Are the numbers doing what we thought we'd do? I love that balance because it's not we've got to get those early reads, but that's not the full game. So assuming then that we've got past those milestones, that we've chosen the right marketplace, it's building well for us, we then get to that inevitable challenge in research, which is like, oh, well, if I'd sold that via my website, I'd have made more money. How do you deal with that whole, we're now selling in lots of different places, the customer's taking their choice, which potentially means we're cannibalizing sales between different channels. How do you manage that when it comes to marketplace selling?
That is a great question, because it's a very common question as a brand starts to diversify across marketplaces. I would say the number one thing to remember is really having clear differentiation across the channels, across the audience that you're trying to reach, the product and assortment, how your brand shows up, and also the unique experience you're trying to deliver. And I can dive into that a bit too. So from an audience perspective, we chat a lot today about, you know, your growth audience and your core audience. So having distinction of, okay, maybe this channel is just reaching my growth audience and D2C offers what I need for my core audience for growth. Obviously, as you start to scale, that Venn diagram starts to overlap. There's going to be channels that have both. So I think once that happens, teasing out the nuance of, okay, now that there's growth and core audiences at the same time, who is really my nuanced customer across each? And then starting to tailor your brand assortment and experience towards that. So having a really clear brand message, content that resonates with that particular customer. So whether that's imagery, copy, getting super specific with that. Testing, of course, along the way. I would say product and assortment tends to be, I don't want to say fully forgotten, but tends to be one that's clearly overlooked in favor of hero products or those that are pretty positive in terms of unit economics. So knowing that there might be loss leaders that you need to represent in some channels for product differentiation or to acquire a new audience becomes very important. So for instance, maybe D2C has your full assortment because you want clear differentiation that every time you go to the D2C site, you can see what the brand has to offer. But you'll have to offer some loss leaders as part of that to show your breadth of assortment. So knowing there's a bit of that nuance as well. And then the experience. So we touched upon D2C a little bit. I think the space to play in D2C is having a clear membership or loyalty or like what is the unique reason for being for D2C? Otherwise, it becomes one of many channels. So do you want to offer a loyalty program that has unique experiences, connectivity with other community members that also support the brand, whether that's digitally or offline? Do you want unique content that is truly gated that members can only access through D2C? So figuring out what's important from your consumers, always speaking to them, always listening to them, and offering that uniquely in the D2C channel tends to be a good recipe for more balance across the marketplace, because where I see cannibalization the most is really starting to hurt the D2C channel upon marketplace expansion.
Awesome answer. You've almost struck me dumb there, Jamie, because it's just so true. And so often people, they might think about the inventory and where they're putting different products, but they make such a quick decision that they miss a nuance that's so important to actually get right. Oh yeah, we just won't put those on there, we'll put those on there, but not really thinking it through. I love that. Thank you so much. Well, look, Jamie, it's been a pleasure picking your brains about marketplaces. Listeners, make sure you stay tuned right to the end of this episode, because you, trust me, do not want to miss out on Jamie's insider tips, answers on omnichannel expansion, as well as a few of my own suggestions to help you improve things even further in your business. Okay, Jamie, so far we've gone deep into marketplaces. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of omnichannel expansion strategies and awesomeness. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with omnichannel expansion, which pretty much includes everything in e-commerce, as well as everything we've already been talking about. Jamie, are you ready for the insider tips?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
So prior to thinking about marketplace expansion, I would say really being confident and understanding what your product is and that your product is really resonating with your audience and people in the market. I think there tends to be a, okay, let's expand into all these different marketplaces, but are you confident in what your hero product is? Are consumers loving it? Are you seeing consumers coming back? So trusting your product and having a really clear brand message to differentiate across the marketplace. I think just getting started on your brand and product is so critical as a foundation. And then once you branch out into the marketplace, what I mentioned earlier is clear channel differentiation strategy. That's a really big piece to land across the vectors of audience, brand, product, and experience. And then last but not least is also move fast to get to market quickly. I mentioned like knowing your brand, knowing your product, having a signal of where you want to enter, but not getting caught up in decision paralysis. So not waiting 6 months before you're entering to get it perfect, but start testing and learning. If you're getting buyers that are interested in different marketplaces, go for it. See what you can do and get those learnings along the way.
Now, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yes, I think especially in this economic climate, it's a little bit hard to champion for additional dollars to spend. So I'd say my favorite way to keep optimizing while keeping our finance partners and CEO happy is focus on testing what you are doing with the customers that you already have. So thinking about CRO, so conversion rate optimization, AOV, especially if on your D2C platform where you have a lot of those levers to control, really eyeing what are those highly trafficked areas where we can make some marginal improvements. That tends to be homepage PDP, or even on different marketplace channels, knowing what you do own and where you can optimize that conversion or AOV metric. And then also retention marketing. I think there's always a lot of conversation around growth and acquisition marketing, evolution of Google, social commerce, but don't neglect who you already have. Getting more people from that first to second shop can sometimes be an easier win than really reinvesting top of funnel. So not forgetting that and using a lot of your own channels, your website, email, SMS to help get you there.
Brilliant. Okay, if someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
Yes. So I am actually on a platform called Reforge, and there's a ton of brilliant peers in the marketplace that offer a ton of free content on that as well. So on Reforge, I've created some free blueprints on e-commerce growth, some around marketplace and tiering strategy, some on product management, digital marketing. So you can find me on there. It's Jamie A. Lee. It's J-A-M-I-E. A and Lee. And then you can also search for whatever you want across digital and marketplace growth. A ton of free resources there from a lot of industry experts. So I'd highly recommend. Again, it's Reforge.
Wow, that's an awesome piece of advice. I can imagine many of our audience are going to lose a whole afternoon to Reforge and those blueprints. So thank you so much for that one, Jamie. That's brilliant. So Reforge, everybody, and then look for Jamie, who is Jamie A. Lee on that platform. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Yes, so I'm sure you've heard many times about AI, so I'm not going to delve into that. And I'll mention something a little bit different since we're jamming on marketplace. I would say the big piece is around omnichannel retail media. I'm sure, Chloe, you're very familiar with the evolution here, but what's really interesting is that there's a lot of predictions and growth vectors that show it's going to reach about $60 billion in 2024 in terms of ad dollars, and 50 retailers have actually launched over the last 10 years. So there's actually a lot of growth in this space, but a little bit more understated. And I think the interesting piece is that from a brand side, most brands don't want to work with more than 4 retail partners. So I think if I'm a marketplace, there's a lot of profit margin to be had having this as part of your business strategy. But if I'm on the marketplace side, I want to differentiate. So what that means is there's a lot of options for brands. So self-service options, like we saw Kroger launch in 2023, but equipping brands to better understand budget optimization, optimized targeting, reporting and analytics, and also kind of landing what are the marketplaces that you want to play in and where you want to invest in retail media. And if you're on the brand side, knowing that that's a space to play in, it's likely your competitors are going to be there. It's an evolving space. Knowing that you need to be visible in the marketplace and really building a lot of your content strategy around it. I think right now there's a lot of content teams that plan around pure brand marketing, potentially digital and offline and performance media and more traditional channels. But knowing that this is a big place for growth, maybe you swing the pendulum a little bit and your creative partners are starting to build content and strategies dedicated to retail media networks.
There you go, everybody. There's a big one to go get your teeth stuck into, and that is definitely the first time that's been mentioned on this show. So, Jamie, that is like a top crystal ball tip moment. So thank you for that. We are very nearly at the end of the show now, though. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business if they want to get in touch?
Yes. If folks want to connect, you're always welcome to book 15 minutes with me to jam e-commerce, marketplaces, and growth. You can find me at jamieaalee.com. So jamieaalee.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn with that. I offer consulting, coaching, advising, and I also teach a course called e-commerce 201 on Maven. You can find all of that on my website. So if you want to continue this e-commerce and marketplace journey further, feel free to reach out.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Jamie. And thank you for giving us so much brilliant advice around our marketplace journeys. We really, really appreciate it. So thanks for being here.
Awesome. Thanks, Chloe, for having me.
Phenomenal guest. I was so pleased, as I said earlier, so pleased when Jamie's pitch came in to be our marketplace person for this particular set of episodes. So pleased. Okay, for those of you scratching your heads and going, what is a retail media network? It is advertising on the marketplaces. So putting ads on the Amazon advertising platforms that might drive traffic to your Amazon listings or might drive traffic to your own website. So it's the big retail stores adding adverts to their platforms that you can buy to drive yourself sales. That is the retail media network. And it is totally and utterly a big opportunity that many are not using at the moment. A fascinating subset of the marketing world. So what to love about Jamie's session there? First of all, those five facets: the number one, business objectives; two, customer connection; three, marketplace potential; four, brand consideration; and five, talent and resources. Clearly super important for picking the marketplace you want to sell on. Also, I think a good way of evaluating any omnichannel expansion plans you have. If you're trying to work out, should we do a physical retail store or do an Amazon selling piece? If you're trying to work out whether you should go wholesale or do marketplaces or go cross-border, that would be a five-part assessment you could do to compare and contrast those opportunities, I would suggest. Then brilliant advice on how to assess whether you've made the right decision or not. Lots of tips around making it all successful. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to Jamie's answers there. She was just absolutely spot on what we all need to know. You can get our notes from this episode, as well as links to the things we mentioned, the full transcript of this episode and other stuff on the website. That's keepoptimizing.com. Or you can use our direct episode short links. That's keepopt.com/ the number of this episode. Put that into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right page on the website. And then please, when you get to the website, get yourself onto our email list as well, so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out all our omnichannel expansion episodes by scrolling up your feed, because there's a couple of them just above this, or use the short link keepopt.com/omnichannel to find the page all about it on the website. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many marketers as possible to improve the performance of their e-commerce marketing. Have a great week. Make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.